Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject. It's at the top of the news on every network. It's at the top of the news with every anchor. And I think there's a lot of spin that's taking place as a result of talking about the coronavirus. Just watched the other day as Vice President Pence and his entire team that's been assembled to deal with the coronavirus in America. They got through with speaking to and interviewing Dr. I believe it's Fauci with the Center for Disease Control. They talked about what they were doing and the test kits that were going out and the laboratories that were being charged with the responsibility of doing the test and getting them back to the physicians on a quick turnaround in America. And I rolled the dial from Fox News where I was watching that interview, watching it with my own eyes, hearing it with my own ears, and turned to CNN, the Communist Network News. The Communist Network News were responding to, without showing the dialogue, they had those around the table, around the desk, responding to what they perceived was really being said. And ladies and gentlemen, you would have thought that we're in two totally different universes. The way they were twisting it, the way they were spinning it, the way they were telling it was totally converse, totally reversed, totally backwards, absolutely disingenuous broadcasting as to what had just been said in that meeting. Had I not watched it with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears as to what Vice President Pence and the group were saying, and then turned to listen to what the news said. So therefore, my problem is, ladies and gentlemen, my contention is, my source of issue today is that we're not getting the real story from the news media that we're watching. It's the Communist Network News. Some used to call it the Clinton Network News, known as CNN. But what we do know, ladies and gentlemen, are several de facto things that we've been talking about. Let me remind you that you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment. Are you concerned about it? What are you doing in relationship to it? Have you gone out with panic buying, filling your carts up with sanitizers and with different products that you're told that you must stockpile in case of a pandemic? I know just recently I had gone into Walmart simply to get a can of Lysol. And the shelf that Lysol is usually on in the Super Walmarts on San Jose, I walked over there, and there are three shelves, three levels, about 10 foot each. All were totally bare. Asked one of the clerks, I said, "Do you have any Lysol?" She pointed to the shelves, and she said, "There's where it used to be." When I started to check out, I made mention of the same thing to the cashier. The cashier said, "You'd be interested to know that just a few minutes before you came in, a gentleman came in and filled several carts up and bought everything that's on the shelf as far as disinfectants. Bought it and walked out with it." So, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching panic response, a panic reaction to what they're claiming is a pandemic. Now, it may very well continue to the point where it is a pandemic. We're concerned because they do not have a vaccine. We're concerned because they do not have an antibiotic for this virus. We're concerned because of where it could go. But, ladies and gentlemen, we ought not to do a spin on the news and allow the news media to deceive us. I think there's an ultimate motive, an ulterior motive, for the media and what they're doing. And we'll talk about that in the balance of this broadcast today. But we're continuing with the thought of what we do know. What we do know is the Chinese physician, as I said before the break for the news, the Chinese physician that first learned of the information and told the world, started to informing the world, mysteriously died of the coronavirus himself. We do know that China has begun to demolish the whole center called Wuhan in Wuhan, China. They claim is the ground zero, the point of origin. We do know that the coronavirus has now killed about 4,000 people and almost 200,000 people are infected with the virus just in America and around the globe. In fact, we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, those that are infected can exponentially grow. Once it gets to a certain level, you take one and add one, it's two times two, and then one times one, two times two, four times four, et cetera. It's the exponential multiplication. We can fully expect several million, in my most humble opinion, several million in the next few days as we find this exponentially increasing around the globe. So, yes, the numbers are frightening. But when you look at that which takes place with the pneumonia and with other major viruses that happen in America and around the globe on an annual basis, we're not looking at anything as a percentage, doesn't even reach a percentage level of what is taking place normally, actively, with those with influenza and pneumonia each year. We do know that the American economy is now being undermined by the corona panic. We do know that. Today, across the globe, airlines have almost not shut down, but there's no international flights. Airline stock, just last week, the airline stock dropped about 51% as a result of the cruise ships and the passenger cruise ships ceasing and desisting with any new cruises. They're suffering, they're struggling, and their stock had dropped last week. Don't know what it will be today. Their stock dropped last week some 37%. And we can find the international flights and the globally connected businesses have had to close down and to restrict their operations. This redounds, ladies and gentlemen, to a major economic turndown and the growth and development of the economy. A major, major, major turndown for the economic health on an international level. And because we're interconnected on a global basis via computer technology, what happens in China 5 minutes ago happens in America to this minute. And I can use that as the illustration around the globe. We are interconnected globally by way of the internet. And so when one nation sneezes, the other nation sneezes. It is that connectivity that causes it, ladies and gentlemen. And as a result of it, we're finding major, major, major problems and security for this potentiality taking place, ladies and gentlemen. As a result of it, we're finding now the military restricting travel to and from some of the transfer points. Here's an article that says, Army suspends travel for soldiers and their families from South Korea amid coronavirus outbreak. The travel ban will be in effect through May 6th, according to the U.S. Korean forces. There are now 28,500 U.S. troops stationed in South Korea. The USFK, that is the United Air Forces of Korea, is aware of the Department of the Army's order to stop movement for all Army soldiers and their family members moving to and from South Korea or soldiers scheduled to attend professional military education in the United States due to coronavirus concerns. Further, the article states, the health and welfare of our service members and their families continues to be our top priorities. Ladies and gentlemen, you're finding major corporate entities, iPhones, Apple, shutting down many plants in China. You're finding even Starbucks had closed as of first part of last week, about half of their shops in China. And you're finding that, ladies and gentlemen, reaching out in every one of the national and international businesses and corporate entities and manufacturing plants coming out of China. Now, that has a good issue, good point, and a bad. Let me touch the good thing is this. We're recognizing our interconnectivity and total interdependence on China for the survival of America. And we're going to talk about that further in this broadcast because therein lies what I think is the real ground zero essence of what we're seeing taking place with this coronavirus that I do believe was by an accident that it got out of the Chinese biochemical laboratories, but it's out now and they're trying to put it back in the Pandora's box, but it can't be put back in the bottle, the genie's bottle as it used to be called. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have a call on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
You know, all of this is very interesting from the perspective of, you know, China being under more pressure under Donald Trump than they've been under in decades. You know, they've enjoyed most favored nation trade status for many decades, and that, of course, has allowed them to suck dry industry after industry in the United States and pull those manufacturing jobs overseas, including, you know, 80 to 90% of our drugs being manufactured or base products coming out of China. So China's under extreme pressure today. Russia, with the price of oil dropping, and of course this morning it dropped as low as, I think, $27 a barrel, but it's been lower. You know, they had it over $100 a barrel. When it dropped to $60 a barrel, the pressure was off the charts. And I think it's hovering between 31 and 34 barrel. Russia is under extreme pressure. China doesn't, you know, doesn't see life the same way most of us here in America see life. Many of them are of the opinion that you know, a few million lives here and there don't amount to much. You know, under Mao Zedong, they lost tens of millions of lives, and it was inconsequential to them. Inconsequential to the leadership. It was inconsequential. So, you know, all those things considered, you know, it may be an accident, or it may have been on purpose. The reality is, they would like to see the apple cart upset, something change, some sort of a relief given, so that they can continue their push to being the ultimate superpower in the world. Today, the stock market's in absolute turmoil. Dow dropped as much as 1,900 points. Gold rate increased about $100 over the past 2 weeks, about $100 an ounce. A lot of things are moving and shaking very quickly. Oil companies are being cut in half. In the past 1 week, oil companies have been cut in half. Companies like Marathon Oil are down 41% today. It is just incredible to see the things going on. So I wonder if this is not an accident, but strategic and intentional. And
That's the ultimate question that we want to get to. What I've done thus far has been kind of a big picture trickle down as to where I want us to go. And Greg, I'm thankful that you were able to get with us on the broadcast today for us to have this dialogue and discussion together on it. You have in America today, and we'll digress from a moment, and then we'll get back to the point at hand in relationship to China and the Chinese connection in relationship to this global fiasco that's taking place as a result of the coronavirus and it being called a pandemic. Here's an article that says major universities closed classrooms amid coronavirus outbreak. The first major American university to close classroom doors in response to the coronavirus outbreak are happening in California and Washington State, the state with the most deaths of the coronavirus. University of Washington informed its 55,000 students Friday that it was shutting down its in-person classrooms and finals starting Monday, as it also announced its staff who works in the Roosevelt Commons East Building tested positive for the virus and its self-isolation at the home. In a similar move, Stanford University in the heart of Silicon Valley and Palo Alto, California, moved to for the in-person classroom online where possibly after two students of its self-isolation due to possible exposure to the virus, provost said in the student's notice Friday. We plan to resume normal class operations when spring quarter begins March the 30th, pending public health guidance, according to the president of the universities. But, Greg, what we're seeing take place is a total panic response to what we see with the coronavirus. And now, again, it goes back to there's no vaccination for it. There's no known cure for it at this present time. They're rushing it. In fact, the Center for Disease Control, according to Vice President Pence, is working overtime to try to produce something that will be some sort of a stave. But they said it'd be 12 to 18 months before vaccination is in line for this virus. Here's an article, Greg, that says Ted Cruz has to stay home after a brief interaction with a coronavirus patient at the CPAC meeting. Senator Ted Cruz issued a statement Sunday revealing that he had interacted with an attendee at last month's Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, who had tested positive for the coronavirus, and as a result, he'll stay home until the 2 weeks he's passed. Cruz said his interaction with the individual consisted of a brief conversation and a handshake. Quote, I'm not experiencing any symptoms, and I feel fine and healthy. Given the interaction was 10 days ago, that the average incubation period is 5 to 6 days, that the interaction was for the at least a 1 minute, and that I have no current symptoms, the medical authorities have advised me that the odds of transmission from the other individual to me were extremely low. What I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, and Greg, in our discussion on this subject, we're talking about what we're seeing as an international, global confusion. And you talked about the oil a moment ago, just in the Texas oil production alone. The Texas oil production dropped by 33.7% as of this morning's news on the activity for the oil markets. We do know that the panic is breaking out on a global level. We do know that the panic is causing the American economy to absolutely take a nosedive. Now, here's the question, Greg, that I want us to discuss and see what if any of our listeners have any comments. Is this contrived? Are we watching a purposeful manipulation of the stock market, a purposeful manipulation of what is taking place by and being carried out by the news media to thwart or to undermine or destroy the Trump's reelection? The basic thing that we have going for us with the Trump administration has been a thriving, on-fire economy in America today. But I find that there is a question mark on a number of lips as a result of it. Here's an article that says, and I'll read this, Greg, and let you respond. Trump has been sabotaged by the medical deep state, one writer says. It's a lengthy article. I'll read about three brief paragraphs. The Chinese virus has been treated as just a natural occurrence or unfortunate incident that necessitates that we have to cede more power over our lives to what critics have long called the medical deep state. Under pressure from foreign threats, President Trump has relied on these healthcare professionals, but the results has been stories from Washington Post about how the Trump administration lost control of the coronavirus. The New York Times about how coronavirus is coming for Trump's presidency. This is the new narrative designed to bring Trump down. Financially, in a major blow to the U.S. capitalist system and the world economy, more than $6 trillion in wealth in the global stock market was erased in 1 week over fears of the virus has been mishandled and the disease is spreading. China has hit its low also, but it's able to recover more quickly because its economy and population are under the tight control of the communist dictatorship. It has more than enough people to, quote, sacrifice in a war with the West. Conservative writers such as Matt Margulis note the President Trump was quick to ban travel with China. Despite opposition from the UN's World Health Organization, this was a decisive step. But the UN agency had also failed to act quickly. And it goes on to talk about how the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, have been actively involved in what this writer says was an undermining of the president's position to quell the coronavirus and its spread in America. In fact, Elon Musk has also made a very similar statement in relationship to that. He claims that there is something wrong with what is taking place. Network news anchor pushes back after Elon Musk calls coronavirus a panic dumb, D-U-M-B. Tech billionaire Elon Musk is getting some pushback after panning what the Tesla CEO considers the stupidity undergirding the panic surrounding the coronavirus. But consider what's driving it. When faced with the risk, the best way to manage overreaction is expert leadership providing honest information. The absence of that logically sparks overreaction, according to Elon Musk. So, Greg, do you think this is some way contrived to undermine President Trump's basic track to run on for reelection, that is a thriving economy in America?
Here's a few points. The reality today is still, in the United States, you are more likely to die because you have information on Hillary Clinton than you are to die from this virus, okay? The reality is, in the first 6 weeks, of the virus, 1,800 people internationally died, while 5.625 million children were aborted during the same six-week time period. This year, no matter what happens, this year more people will die in car accidents than die of this virus. So there is a lot of contrived fear and panic associated with this. A lot of that is driven by your, you know, mainstream media, your MSNBC, your CNN, and the major networks that would love to see Donald Trump out of office. Now, keep in mind, viruses, year by year, there's always the scare, especially election years. And when you go back to 2004, there was SARS. 2008, there was the avian flu. 2010, the swine flu. 2012, MERS. 2014, Ebola. 2016, Zika. 2018, Ebola came back. And then it's coronavirus this year. There's always some kind of push or panic or scare tactic in place. I believe that 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, we will see this thing has peaked and it has disappeared. or quickly disappears. Now, we may see a resurgence, next fall and into the wintertime. However, by then, we'll probably see some market to eradicate or stamp down the mortality rates. Of course, the mortality rates still in industrialized, systems with good medical care, you're still down in the 1%. I mean, it's not to make light of it, but it's pretty low compared to some of these other things that have Ebola and such that have really brought fear and panic. And two, there's a break between the stock market and the economy. The economy still grew in this country, 273,000 new jobs, I believe, last month. Yeah. And the stock market has taken a different turn. Now, granted, the slowdown can absolutely bring the real economy to its knees. And our economies are interconnected, so the entire world hurts. As a matter of fact, they say if the United States gets the cold, the world gets the flu when it comes to economic numbers. The world literally is attached to the United States and vice versa. We are attached to the rest of the world. So this is not, I'm not saying don't be fearful, don't be concerned, don't plan for things, but the reality is, I think that there's a lot of hyperbole, and the major networks are contributing. They would love to stir this panic all the way through November 3rd because they would love to see somebody like, Biden or Bernie Sanders in office. Now I've got a question for you. Going forward, would you rather see Donald Trump, a national borders, a border security president in place, or would you rather see an open border, socialized medicine president in place? I'll tell you what, I'll take the one that is for securing our borders. I'll take the one that sees American sovereignty as something real and important and valuable and to be preserved and protected over these socialist, socialized medicine, open borders nitwits that we have running in the Democratic Party today.
Well stated, Greg. Listen, here's something that I want us to wrap up with in the next few minutes on this broadcast and talking about. Let's discuss this in this fashion, set the predicate for the statement that I want to make. President Donald J. Trump is the only president in my lifetime that I've seen that's taken a stand against China. And as he's used the term, they've been ripping us off for years. And yet at the same time, unknown to the general public in America, 97% of our antibiotics come out of China. Over 85% of all of our medications, pharmaceutical-grade medications, are made in China and shipped back to Americans to consume. Now, here's an article that got my attention off the wire this morning. China threatens to throw America into the mighty sea of the coronavirus. China is threatening to wreak havoc on America's drug supply amid the Wuhan coronavirus outbreak. Thanks to our globalist elite, and especially the missteps during the Obama-Biden administration, Beijing, China has the power to do just that. This article further says, in an article, one of the Chinese Communist Party mouthpieces, Beijing threatened that it can impose pharmaceutical export controls, after which America will be plunged into the mighty sea of the coronavirus, end quote. This writer in this article says, unfortunately, Beijing, China isn't bluffing about the capability. As Rosemary Gibson, co-author of the China RX, Exposing the Risk of American Dependency on China Medicine, China for Medicine, testified to a congressional commission last summer, China has a dominant role in the manufacture of all generic drugs, comprising about 97% of Americans, all that Americans take. The critical vulnerability isn't just in the finished drug product, but what are called active pharmaceutical ingredients. Some 80% of these active pharmaceutical ingredients, of which America now imports, most of these come from Red China. Even finished drugs from other sources are dependent on China. Another major source of generic drugs is India, and 80% of our drugs and these ingredients come out of China that's then manufactured in India. And the article goes on and on. That's a scary thought, Greg. If China, and it's not a matter of if, China does, in fact, hold the key to all of our pharmaceuticals. And all they need to do to hit back at America and to fight back at President Trump for the import embargoes that he's placed, and it's brought in multiple mega millions of dollars for American Treasury as a result of what President Trump has done. All it would take is for China just to do an embargo on all of its exportation of any drugs to America, and we'd be sitting high and dry. How do we respond to that? What should we know? What should we do? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I believe things are moving and shaking right now today. I believe if government gets out of the way, we can ramp up pharmaceutical production in this country at 90 to 180 days. We can replace probably more than half of the pharmaceutical chain that stream of drugs that comes out of China. I really think the fear that maybe China, you know, they may try to take advantage of. I think it would be to a great disservice to those folks in China. I believe at least under this president. Now, under a President Biden, things would be totally different. Under a President Biden, there would immediately be a willingness to bow, you know, so long as Hunter Biden gets another $1.5 billion to invest in one of his investment
yes.
funds and gets a seat on a few over in China. You know, he would be happy to bow and do whatever they would like, you know, restore the open trade where everything can come here for free and everything that goes over there gets tariffed at 25, 30, 35, or 40%. By the way, folks don't realize Donald Trump did not start a trade war. A trade war has been on for decades.
Yes.
There's never been free fair trade between ourselves and China. So just to assuage any of the crazy fake news out there, stepping back in time a little bit, China started this. Now we finally have a president that says America first. But I believe we don't bend, we don't bow. We absolutely push through this 6 or 8 weeks from now. I believe things calm down dramatically. But for the believer, you know, still, you know, don't fear. But when things get really, 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 really crazy, you know, I get a little excited. You know, I'm one that says, you know, dude, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. These things ought not to absolutely stir us to the point that we're in a panic. By the way, store shelves are emptied of toilet paper in a lot of places. So if you don't have enough toilet paper for the next 6 weeks, you might want to get a case or two.
Yeah.
But this will pass, I believe.
Yes.
And I believe we will see restoration of a lot of things within the marketplace. But for
the
believer, don't let this stir you to the core. There are much more important things going
yes.
on in this world.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.